It's Sunday morning, time for the great outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio. And I don't like to break promises to you, but I'm going to break one happily today. I promised you last week when I ended the show we'd be talking about conservation and the coming election, but we're not going to. Instead, we're going to talk about food. And we're going to talk with Hank Shaw, who's one of the best-known wildlife chefs and authors of books, really in the world, but certainly here in America. And also we've got Carrie Luft, who is a longtime friend of Hank Shaw's and is quite a culinary expert himself, having been grown up in New Orleans, where he now brings his wonderful cooking skills to his friends in his kitchen here in the Chicago area. So, Hank, thank you for coming on. And, Carrie, as always, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having
me on.
Happy
to be here, Carrie.
So let me just ask you, Hank, you didn't grow up in the publishing business, although you were a writer for numerous magazines and newspapers. And I assume that at some point in life you decided, you know what, it's a lot better to write about cooking, game, and being in the outdoors than it is to be sitting writing stories about other people around the country. So I know you grew up in California. You lived in California. You've worked for newspapers from New York to Virginia to Wisconsin, Minnesota, California, but now you've come back to your original roots. And as you say in one of the outlines on you, I now pay my bills writing cookbooks, fishing, foraging, and hunting. And also, Carrie, as you reminded me, Hank is a James Beard Award winner. So you are the first James Beard Award winner I have had on the Great Outdoors Show in the 24 years I've had the pleasure of hosting this show. So thank you for being the first. But most of all, thank you for coming on today. And Carrie, with all of your culinary skills, which you long learned in New Orleans, how did you first meet Hank Shaw, Carrie?
I met Hank when I was at the Tribune, Charlie, many years ago. They asked me to write as one of the few people there at the time who actually spent time in the outdoors and liked to hunt, not only for the hunting, but also for the eating that results from hunting, to do a story on wild game cooking. So I had been reading Hank's blog called Hunter, Angler, Gardener, Cook, for years. So I reached out to Hank and we hit it off, and we've had many memorable meals since. He's a great resource and a good guy.
Well, Hank, I've known Carrie, as you know, for a long time, and he and I have worked together on conservation issues for many years now. And before that, at the Chicago Tribune through John Huzar, the wonderful outdoor writer. But you decided to make a career change, and for the sake of this show, and also for the sake of all of us who enjoy eating game that we cook, you made a great career choice. How did that come about?
Well, when it started, I used to be a political reporter, and as you might imagine, in recent decades, that's become a deeply unfun profession. And so I'd always gathered, you know, wild plants and mushrooms and stuff like that, and I'd always fished, and I had taken up hunting, oh, I don't know, maybe 6 or 7 years prior to this moment, but I finally decided that I needed to write about the things that I loved to keep myself sane. And that very quickly morphed into the website, Hunter, Angler, Gardener, Cook, which I started in 2007. And it's kind of caught on. I mean, I got nominated for Beard Awards twice before I won it. And it kind of was just a big snowball effect. And I said to myself at one point, I think I can do this. And I had some help from some really good friends. And then I've been kind of doing it by myself. And, you know, I don't think I've had a boss since 2010, and which makes me probably unemployable. But I have never missed a mortgage payment, so far so good, you know.
Well, I have to laugh. Here you are, a former political writer, and Carrie Luft, of course, was the former editor and foreign and national editor of the Chicago Tribune, so he covered politics forever. And here, and we are 9 days out from an election, and we are not going to talk about that. instead with both of you, who I think are converted to life and conservation in the outdoors, and probably in both of your cases, happily so. And you probably don't miss covering politics, either one of you. Hank, let me just sort of ask, you've come back, you've moved back to Minnesota, but you lived in California for a long time.
I did.
Do you write about, you've written 5 books, and obviously you're the author, you're the host of this wonderful website. What are the differences geographically? Do you find that you can write about any cooking anywhere, or do you be more drawn to where you live because people are more interested in things locally?
Right now there's a newness to the Midwest that, you know, I lived in the Twin Cities 20 years prior, before I went to California. So it's kind of a homecoming to Minnesota in the Midwest. But I also went to graduate school in Wisconsin, so go Badgers. But there's a kind of a newness feeling to it where I've never been this good at what I do in the Midwest until now. So I'm seeing things in a different way. And I have some friends who are very good at what they do here. And so I'm picking up new ideas with new ingredients and going on different kinds of experiences. Like, you know, the mushroom hunting here is very different. The fishing here is very different. The hunting's pretty similar, but it's a different set of species. So there's that kind of fun of rediscovery that I'm really excited about.
Carrie, you kindly introduced me to Hank, who I've known about for a long time, but had never had the pleasure of meeting him until very briefly. And so what drew you to Hank Shaw originally? I mean, there are lots of people writing about outdoor cooking, but Hank Shaw has cut out a pretty great sort of market of his own. What makes Hank different?
Well, I'll tell you, Charlie, I mean, as you know, from you and I being in the field quite a bit, and from me being a native of South Louisiana, I try to eat everything but the quack in my ducks. And Hank is he's the avatar of that movement to really get the most out of your game. You know, he's not highfalutin, although he can cook on a par with 3-star chefs. He understands the appeal of mushroom soup and pheasant casserole as well as anybody, but he is an evangelist for really making the most out of this, the game that we harvest and the fish that we catch. And if you have one of his cookbooks, and we'll get Hank to tell you how to get his cookbooks before we're off. Duck, duck, goose, buck, buck, moose, pheasant, quail, cottontail, hook, line, and supper. And his original one, what was the name of the original, Hank? I'm
sorry. Hunt, Gotta Cook.
Hunt, there you go. You will find recipes that are not intimidating, that are very accessible to the home cook, that will make you think of different ways of cooking wild game for yourself and your family that go beyond dumping them into a crock pot and dumping some canned soup over them and cooking the mess out of them. You know, as you know, Charlie, I have young daughters. They're not as young as they used to be, but they grew up looking forward to me bringing home mallards or canvasback. I remember my youngest daughter was a very picky eater, gnawing on a canvasback leg when she was about 5 years old. And I thank Hank for that. He showed me the way of how to cook duck so it doesn't taste like liver. And he's doing this, you know, the word evangelist is not too strong for what he has done for wild game cooking in America. And we all owe him a debt of thanks for that, because he's opened my eyes and he's opened a lot of other people's eyes to what wild game can really be.
Well, Hank, I think the first person Carrie should have just thanked was me for shooting the canvas back in the mallard so that he could prepare them in his house for his daughters.
Wow, some shade thrown.
Carrie has just gone quiet. He has just gone quiet. And Hank, I know you know this, and for those of you listening, Carrie Luft is one of the foremost shots, literal play target and wild game shots in the world. And I spent many days in a duck blind with Carrie. And there's no question, Carrie, that when your gun goes up, something's coming down. So I don't think I provided those, but I just thought I'd run that over your bow to see how you reacted. So we got a couple minutes before
game on,
break.
Charlie.
And game on. All right. About a minute before the break, Hank, so what's the most fun you've had? Was it the first book and getting started, or is it watching this whole career just take off?
I think the most fun has been that because I travel a lot and I get a chance to see different things and meet different people, and you know, even in Spanish, you know, I can speak Spanish, and I've spent a lot of time in Mexico doing this as well, that there's a constant stream of, wow, that's super cool. Like, I've never seen that before. Let's just do that. And it never, I mean, I've been doing this for a long time, and it has never gotten old. And I think I'm still able to show kind of almost like a childlike eagerness and excitement about a new thing or a new way of doing something or a new ingredient or whatever. It's just the wild world is so vast and there's so much to eat in it, really, that I don't think I'll ever get bored.
Well, let's take a break. And when we come back, what I'd love to hear about are your thoughts on how everyday pedestrian people in the kitchen like me can maybe get more out of what we're doing. And then also this whole, you know, a farm to table or field to table or water to table movement of what you're in the middle of. I'd love to get your reaction for everyone listening as to where you think that's going. And because certainly it's a movement that 10 years ago there wasn't a lot of, but now there's so much. You know, you've got Meat Eater and all these different outlets that are promoting eating wild game. And wild game is not something easy to cook. So if you don't mind, Hank, we're visiting with Hank Shaw, wonderful author, American chef, James Beard Award winner, and Carrie Luft as well. We'll be back in just a moment with much more on the Great Outdoor Show. But before we do, I want to thank our longtime sponsors, the Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevrolet dealers. And this is Charlie Potter and the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN.
Hiking, camping, and hunting, it's all an adventure in the great outdoors, but nature can be tough. You need to be ready for anything and everything. Chevy Silverado is built to handle the toughest conditions and get you everywhere you want to go, worry-free. Silverado's designed to handle the big jobs. It's built for the great outdoors. With over 13,000 pounds of towing capacity and trailering sway control, Silverado can haul the biggest loads on the roughest roads and keep you cool as a Sunday drive. With 8 available cameras and up to 14 different views, it can spot trouble before it gets to you. That's peace of mind. And when you're ready for the backcountry, Chevy Silverado 1500 ZR2 owns the off-road. You name it, we run over it. No wonder it's Motor Trend's 2023 four-wheeler pickup truck of the year. So see your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer or go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and check out a Chevy Silverado. It's freedom to explore the great outdoors.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host, and we've been joined today, this morning, by Hank Shaw, who's a renowned chef, author, outdoors person, and Carrie Luft, who I don't need to say a lot about because I've had Carrie on the air for years. And yes, Carrie, I'm sure you shot that canvas back in Mallard we talked about in the first segment. So, Hank, before we took the break, I said we would come back and maybe you would talk a little bit about how everyday people who love to hunt and fish, who aren't going to be James Beard Award winners, and that's certainly I raised my hand as the first volunteer that I'm not, how can we do a better job? The thing that seems to happen the most often is we overcook game. We somehow get the fish to fall apart instead of stay together, like when you go to a restaurant or when as you describe them in the pictures in your books. How do we do this, aside from just reading all of your books? And we'll be better off doing that to begin with. And before the show's over, we're going to tell everyone how they can get some of your wonderful writings. Hank, what are your thoughts just for the pedestrians in us?
Sure. There are a few universal things that will help everybody across a wide range of things. And I think the very first one, and this applies to everything that you can do in the kitchen, is that if you're going to make a mistake by undercooking something. It's very much like shotgunning. You guys were ribbing each other before about shotgunning, but the very first piece of advice that I give to people who are new shotgun shots are if you're going to miss the bird, miss in front of it. So if you think about that, you're probably going to be okay. So with cooking, if you're going to make a mistake, undercook it, because you can always cook something more. You can't uncook anything. So by undercooking something, you either might get it right, or like, oh, still a little bit under where I want it to be. I can cook it a little bit more, and you can make that adjustment. And you can't if you overcook it off the get-go. So that's number one. The second one would be if you're thinking about the animals that we bring home, so birds and mammals and such, the vast majority of new wild game cooks will cook the, this is sort of a corollary to what I just said, they will cook the tender parts too much and the tough parts too little. So you find a lot of people cooking pheasant breast or deer backstrap or duck breasts. They cook them too much. So that's, you have to really treat those as very delicate and kind of little by little until you get the hang of it. But the other thing I hear is that, well, you know, you can't eat turkey legs. You can't eat goose legs. You can't eat, you know, venison neck or venison shoulder is only good for grind. Well, it's not true, because the problem that most people have is they'll throw it in a crock pot or whatever, and then they really actually don't cook it long enough, because all of those things will get tender and they will fall off the bone and they will be unbelievably delicious. They just need time. And sometimes people don't give those parts of the animal enough time.
Absolutely, Charlie. I mean, I'll go back and I'll tell you that, I love to, there's a technique called sous videing. I love to sous vide duck legs, for 24 hours until they virtually fall off the bone, and then put them into my gumbo. And when I serve duck gumbo at duck camp, the legs are the first thing that people dive in for. No question about it.
Mm-hmm.
So what,
and you know, you don't even have to get so technical with sous vide, which is great. It's a great technique, but it might put somebody off. With something like a duck leg, you don't need anything fancy. You literally can just put it in the crock pot and let it go until it falls off the bone.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So what about marinating? You hear people, some people, you know, hang their birds for whatever they are for days, and some just right away want them cleaned. And every species is a little different, and fish. But what about, for just a second on game, birds, mm-hmm. what about marinating birds? How do you... There are probably a million different ways to do it, but what do you find gets the gamey taste out the best? Takes it away.
Well, the gamey taste for me, you know, gamey to me just means something different than to other people. So for me, gamey is something was wrong. Like you messed up in prep or the bird got too hot or whatever, because game meats should taste like they should taste, which is to say they're not chickens. They're not corn fed. They're not, you know, they're not part of the industrial food complex. So they're going to have their own flavor, and some people interpret that as gamey. But it might be my argument that you don't want to take that taste out, because a pheasant is not a chicken. You know, a rough grouse is not a chicken. They're close, they're cousins, but they have their own character, and it would be a shame to get rid of that character through really excessive marination. Now, where I might agree that there is, you know, if you have something that's off, so maybe bluebill ducks or goldeneye or something like that, if you shoot that sort of duck, they have a strong flavor that is not pleasant to most people. So those are cases where you might want to use a marinade to kind of mitigate it. But the other thing I would say, not so much marinating for flavor as brining for moisture is really an important thing with upland birds. So pheasants, rabbits even, pheasants, and then quail, and then rough grouse, and kind of you name it, they have a tendency to dry out very quickly. So they all benefit from a brine that adds salt into the meat. And it's super simple. It's all you need to do is basically it's a quarter cup of salt to every quart of water, and use that as a standard brine, and then just go from there.
Well, that's a pretty basic thing. I'll start with that this weekend, next weekend when I'm back from hunting. So we got just a moment left. There's been this huge move to go natural. Fish, ducks, everything, fowl, you know, in the grocery store, organic. In about the next 30 seconds, both Hank and Carrie, where do you think this goes? There's only so much game around, I think, with the exception perhaps of deer. Do you see this has a lot of legs to it? Where do you think this ends up?
I think you're going to see a lot more regional flowering of farm-to-table and regional ingredients, whether it's wild or not. I think you're going to find places that would never dream of celebrating their own region, like the Great Plains. I think you're going to find more and more places and people celebrating the sometimes very forgotten things that are from those regions. And I think that's going to be a net plus to American cuisine.
Let's hope so, because certainly eating wild game and fish is just, let's face it, it's the ultimate organic food. So, Carrie, do you have a final thought? And then we're going to have to sign off for the morning.
I do. Buy Hank's cookbooks. They're on Amazon. They're on his website. You Google Hank Shaw, you'll find him. And he also, this is something we didn't touch on, Hank is a terrific writer who has a newsletter called To the Bone on Substack. If you like to read about the outdoors, if you like to read about hunting, some of the deep thinking that we don't talk about a lot when we're hunters, but we all do or should do, Hank is really good at those topics. So I encourage you to get on Substack, To the Bone, and subscribe to his newsletter, as well as read his recipes and buy his books.
Well, thank you so much, Hank Shaw. And I agree, you've written wonderful books, and go to Amazon, those of you listening. And I hope you've enjoyed the show. And Hank, thank you for taking time out of your busy life to help us here learn how to prepare game and just understand outdoor cooking better. And Carrie, thank you as always so much for participating. I'll be back next Sunday morning with much more on the Great Outdoor Show. And next Monday morning, we might do what we're doing today. That'll be a couple days before the elections. And I might have a true outdoor writer, politician come on. Carrie, you might be back next Sunday morning. Thanks so much for being with us. And Hank and Carrie, all the best in the great outdoors. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN.